The title of today's message is Unloading the Heart. Please open your Bibles with me to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. As a reader of English as a second language, I have come to really appreciate how the New Living Translation breaks down the English for me to comprehend. So I want to read that same passage again from the NLT. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It's peace with God, your hearts and mind, as you live in Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are our friend to whom we can call, and you do listen to us when we are hurting. How we praise you, O Lord our God, for your loving Father who cares deeply for his own children. Please, I beg of you, open our eyes today to behold wonderful things and life-transforming truths in this portion of your word that we're looking together at. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So when I was asked to see if I can speak to all of us, a range of things flooded my heart. And I was sharing with Brother John just now that I felt the Lord was telling me, just speak about the things that you deal with every day, things that you experience in your walk with me, okay, as a believer. So I want to speak about that today. If you look at the letter of Peter that he wrote, it says, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them, and you are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And so, brethren, I'm not trying to bring you something new today. No, I am not. I just want to remind us, including myself, the truth that we already know. The truth that we should be putting into practice as believers in Jesus Christ. I know we don't always put all this truth that we learn into practice as always, as we should. If there is one truth that calls for daily, constant reminder that we should practice every single day in the life of every believer, in your life, my life, one thing that you should be, I should be practicing every day, this is it. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That is the truth. I know you know that we live in a world that is anxious and exhausted. According to American Psychological Association, you know, we do study them as educators too. We study their materials. One of their surveys says that over 60% of adults say they lie awake at night because of stress and worry about finances and health and family. Yet, the same survey found that fewer than half ever turn to God in prayer or turn to the scriptures for peace. Doctors tell us that chronic anxiety can weaken our immune system, can raise our blood pressure, and shorten our life expectancy. Worry, literally, wears us down from the inside out. But today, I bring to you the solution from God for our daily practice is that prayer does exactly the opposite. Prayer releases our soul from the load that it was never meant to bear. It is my hope today that, and prayer that, with the help of the power of the Spirit of God, we will be encouraged to grow in our spiritual experiences of seeking God's help in prayer. Now let us take a look, a very close look at today's text. I will attempt to go through this text using scriptures to explain each part of the text to you all. That's my goal. I don't have anything of my own to bring to you. I don't bring stuff from psychology. I don't bring stuff from the world or anything like that or from reading. I bring the Word of God to explain to you what the Word of God says to us. That's all. And that's why I pray to the Lord my life, just to help me to be able to bring the Word of God, to explain the Word of God to people of God. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, "Don't worry about anything." I'm reading from the NLT, like I said. English is not my first language, so I read from English that I understand. So it says, "Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." So there are six parts in this scripture. So the first part is this. It says, "Don't worry." That's part one. Notice that this passage is a command from the Lord. What? Was the Lord speaking directly to us? No. The Lord is speaking through Apostle Paul and telling us to command his people, don't worry about anything. This is a command from the Lord. We know that the writings of the apostles, they are scriptures. They are God-breathed, not mere words of men. So the injunctions of the words of the apostles are binding as command from the Lord. On this subject of worry, we even have a more direct command from the Lord himself. If you look at Matthew 6, part of the Sermon of the Mount that we're studying on our Truth and Tacos Saturdays, we studied through Matthew 5, 6, 7, so we're just barely moving to verse 12. So you're all invited to come and join us and enjoy that that teaching. So, nonetheless, in chapter 6 of the same passage of the long Sermon of the Mount, the Lord said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" And the Lord went further to say, "After all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Therefore, second time, do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. A command is a command. We all need to continue to confess our shortcomings in not obeying all of God's command. But this is what we know, that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins to him. When we call to him and say, Lord, I blew it up. I have carried this worry in my heart. That is against your command. And we tell him just that. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. All our sins in the past, all our sins in the present, all our sins in the future, they are all covered by the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just an encouragement for us that whenever we blow his command, we can come back and tell him, Lord, forgive me. That's covered by his atonement. So what does it mean to worry? Again, the psychologists will say that that's a sense. It's a sense of insecurity, some kind of unease or fear about some potential negative events that might happen or we might experience. The Lord commands us not to dwell in the camp of insecurity, unease, or fear over what may or may not happen. Again, the psychologists, they did a study and found that 91% of the things that people worry about never actually happen. 91%. Of the small passage that actually do happen, most are far less serious than what we imagined. That means that our sleepless nights, our anxious thoughts, our restless hearts are spent wrestling shadows that may never come to pass. Worry drains energy from today. Somebody said that before. Worry drains energy from today over events that may never happen. It just drains our energy. So when the Lord said, do not worry, he knows what he is talking about. There is work for all of us in the kingdom of God. The Lord doesn't want to spend all our energy worrying and wasting our energy over the things that will pass away anyway. Jesus said in about 2,000 years ago, he said, you already know. Jesus already knew all of this stuff. Before the psychologists come and talk about this and that, Jesus already knew. This is what he said in Matthew 6:27. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? He's just telling us that worrying about stuff is useless. That's what he's saying, in essence. So if 90% of our fears, our insecurities, our uneasiness, if they don't come true, and the remaining 10% are under God's control, then worry is useless. Worrying is faith that is misplaced. If 9 out of 10 of our worries never come true, think, what will happen if we turn over all 10 of them to God in prayer? Okay, that's part one. says, do not worry, a command from the Lord. Part two says, do not worry about anything. Philippians 4, 6 again, in NLT says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So I focus on the word anything. Anything, yes. What does anything mean? It means anything. It means something. It means all things. It means everything. It means anything at all. That's what anything means, anything at all. Even the small things. So when I look up a little bit, I did a little search online to find out what is it that we all basically worry about as human beings. All right. This is our exercise for you right now. I want you to think about the things that you worry about. I have my own. You have yours. We are human. We worry. Okay. Take a moment to think about the things that you worry. And now, as I read this list, try to see if one of them resonates with yours, with yours, okay? All right. Money and future, right? Job security. Relationships. A big one here is our health. How about safety, crimes, violence? How about government corruption? How about global instability? How about death? Death to loved ones? Or even worry about our own? How about future of our children? How about the health of the next generation, the mental health of the next generation? How about housing and the cost of living? How about how we appear in the public? How about social acceptance? Now, let's be honest. How many of you will say, will agree with at least one of these that I have just listed? Me too. I have mine there. And even more that is not listed. Thank you for being honest before the Lord. So, if we as human beings inevitably worry, and the Lord says do not worry, what are we to do? Look again at verse 6. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We know that the people of the world, those who don't belong to Christ, they don't know what to do with their worries. Unbelievers do not know what to do with their worries. They've invented humanistic coping strategies that totally exclude the Lord, their maker. Part of their strategies includes anxiety counseling, meditation, deep breathing, yoga. And lately now, the big thing in the world now today is mindfulness. Yeah. That's the people of the world. Now let's hear what a man, God, as a witness, a testimony about one man. He said, this is a man after my own heart. Who is that person? David. Let's see what David said. Psalm 11, 1. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain, to your mountain? In the Lord I put my trust. David wrote this psalm when he was during a time when his advisors or friends, they urge him to run from danger, to go hide somewhere, to go, you know, perhaps away from Saul persecution. He answered them, he said, how can you say that? David was declaring his trust in the Lord. The Lord as his refuge. He was refusing to act out of fear. Instead of running away in fear, David shows faith in God over fleeing to the world's mountain. The world have their own mountain they run to whenever they have their issues. David says, I'm not running to that mountain. In verse 4 of the same chapter, he says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes, even his eyelids, test the sons of men. David recognized that ultimately everything is under God's control. David chose to flee to the Lord, who is enthroned in his temple, not the mountain. It's not that the mountain man, you know, the mountain might do some work, like he might constant deep breathing and yoga. Yeah, it's not that they don't have benefits. I'm not knocking that. But I'm just saying that the Lord is calling us to run to him as his as our refuge, our soul refuge. If he says, go breathe over there, okay, that's from the Lord. Or go do some yoga over there, okay, that's from the Lord. But he says, run to me, okay? In Psalm 121, he says, I look up to the mountain. It's talking about mountains again, say mountains. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, my help's come from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In Psalm 142, David said, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. So, the Lord is our maker. I don't take my car to another maker of another brand of car whenever I have trouble with it. I go to the maker of my brand. They made it. The Lord is your maker. The Lord is our maker. So we go to him. We cast our cares on him. He can fix us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. That word, the Greek word, for cast actually means to throw upon. And I know Pastor JD spoke at length about this some time ago, saying something that we throw something upon. That's what it means to cast. This is not a polite handing over, here you go. No. That's not a polite handing over of things. But it's a decisive unloading. When you unload something onto someone who wants to carry the weight for you, you unload it from you and put it on them decisively, that is a cast. That's the word cast. You might need to find that message of Pastor J.D. on 1 Peter 5:7, where he really did a good job on it. John MacArthur said, this verse portrays the picture of throwing a heavy load on the back of someone strong enough to carry it. So that comes the title of the message as unloading. Unloading our cares on the Lord. This theme of unloading our hearts to the Lord is echoed in many passages of the Bible. There's so many of them. There's just a few of them that I want to run through here so that we can use the word of God to confirm the truth of God. In Psalm 62, verse 8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. This is one of my personal favorite scriptures that I run to every single time. Pour out your heart unto the Lord, because God is your refuge. Now, it's very interesting to compare what the Hebrew word says compared to what the Greek word says. The Hebrew word say in that word, a pour out, it means to empty completely, as if you are turning the vessel of your soul upside down. I was going to bring a bottle, but I thought about it. I said, I don't know if I'll be able to get all the things to hold the water, but I want to pretend that I have a bottle in my hand. This is what he's saying pour out means. You take the vessel of your soul, of your heart, you turn it all the way upside down. You turn it all the way upside down until the content has been poured on the Lord. Pour out your soul to the Lord. I was sharing with Brother John there. I said, it might take a long time. It is not like something we drive by the window. I want to pour out my soul to the Lord now and go. No. It might take you a short time. It might take you a longer time. It might take you an hour. It might take you a whole day. It might take you a few minutes until you empty your soul to the Lord. Some of us, including me, sometimes we don't want to invest the time that we need to actually stay there in the presence of the Lord and actually empty every single thing that bothers us. Every single thing that worry us, that captivate our heart, that is turning our head. The Lord wants us to stay right there. It means you already have a place. You have a place. I have a place. I call it the place of prayer. That's where we go. Like David said in Psalm 55, that's where we go to cast our burden on the Lord. See the same Old Testament, New Testament, casting, pouring out. He said, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So God is inviting us to come over and pour our life unto him, our hearts unto him. There's no other passage that's so much beautiful than the one in Matthew 11:28 that captures everything. It says, come to me. That's our Savior. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. It captures both. We labor, we're heavy laden. Jesus said, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Jesus will never shame us away because we are weary and heavy laden. He will never do that. He gives me courage to come to him because I know he's never going to shame me away. He wants me to bring that so that he can give me relief. Lamentation 2:9 says, rise up during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. For in every street they are faint and with hunger. Psalm 142 says, I cried out to the Lord. I said, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. So when we pray, really, when we actually come to the Lord, really come to the Lord, this is an expression of our faith. Because Hebrews 11:6 says that anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God is. And it's also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're expressing our faith in the Lord. The same faith that you express when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the same faith. When you come to the Lord in prayer, you're exercising your faith that I believe you, Lord. I believe the solution is with you. I believe you can give me a relief. I believe you can set me free from all these things. That's what you are telling the Lord when you take the time to come to his presence and pour out your heart, unload your hearts unto him. That's faith. That's what pleases the Lord. For without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. This is one of my personal favorite, Psalm 65, verse 2. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Part four. What do we do when we turn to the Lord in prayer? Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Tell God your needs. Be specific. Tell God your hurts. I searched through this Bible. I found four people in the Bible. I want to summarize what people came to the Lord and poured their hearts. Because of time, I just want to summarize them. I don't know, maybe I should come and do part five and part six later on sometime. Because I look at the time, it's kind of gone. All right, so how many of you know the story of Anna? Anna, right? The mother of Samuel. So in 1 Samuel 10:11, it says, Anna was in deep anguish, was crying bitterly as she prayed. What? Crying bitterly as she prayed? In prayer, cry? I do cry. I don't know how many of you cry in prayer too. I do cry. I come away sometimes with a lot of tears and stuff. That is me pouring out my heart to the Lord. And you too. You know it because you do it. You practice that. We're not going to go through the vow that she made, but I want to go to where he says in verse 16 says, don't think I'm a wicked woman, because the priest was saying, what are you doing? Are you drunk? And they say, no. Don't think I'm a wicked woman. That means I'm drinking when I should be in the presence of the Lord. He said, I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. There is nothing like being brutally honest with God. He knows our deepest heart anyway. He knows it. Psalm 62 again says that, trust in the Lord, pour out your heart to the Lord, for God is our refuge. So, basically, the Lord wants us to be honest and brutally honest. I kind of run out of time because I know we have to stop. But there's a part five, there's a part six, and then there is bringing them all together, which I believe someday, if the Lord wills and I leave, I might have an opportunity to continue to dig deeper into it. But suffice to say that let us not continue to in sin and expect God's grace to abound. Let's confess our sin to the Lord. I carry too much weight that is not necessary. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. So tonight, instead of you staying there and turning and shunning and pour out your heart, let the Lord take that burden from you. Sometime, someday, I'm going to get to the part where I elaborated on the peace of God. A basic transaction in business. Give me that hurt. I will give you my peace. Transaction. The Lord is true to his word. I have worked with the Lord since 1985. I have been a believer in the Lord. Every single day, the word of the Lord is true. That when I exchange my hurt, I exchange my anxiety. I exchange my worry with to the Lord with his peace. His word comes true. I always experience his peace. I might be on the hallway in my school and there's something happening. I can just say, Lord, I don't get that. Right now, my heart is breaking over what I just saw. Take this from me. I might be by myself. It might be in the night. I might just turn over my bed. I will run away from my bed. I have a place I go. Just jump out of my bed because this worry is going to hold my heart back. I'd run away from that bed, go to that place where I always go, kneel down before the Lord and tell him every single thing. Next time when I have an opportunity, I will be able to elaborate what it means to be brutally honest as we bring our worries and our here, our things that worry us, to be honest. I will bring examples of people in the Bible that were very, very honest, and I will talk more about the peace of God that he gives to us. Let us pray. Eternal rock of ages, you are the rock. You are the rock that we run to, and we have assurance that your word is true. And you always hold us. You always carry us in your mighty hand. You do not let us go around being weighed down by our cares and worries and anxiety. But whenever we turn them over, you take them from us. You give us your peace. This is your truth, and we know we experience it. May we, O Lord God Almighty, continue to embrace your truth, experience the joy of replacing our worry with your peace. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.